Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers podcast from the Monte Carlo Casino in Monaco. I'm Tim. Phil's right there.
Hello, Tim.
That's JB.
Hello, Timothy.
Local time is currently... What is it?
20 past 12.
Nothing, is it? Nothing. It's fine.
20 past 12. So it's the end of the... Well, no. It's the end of the awards section of the World Rugby Awards. Judging by
the start of the party section, though, of course.
It's quite far from... the end of the World Rugby Awards 2019. I think I'm right in saying there's no phones from now on.
Really? Yes, that is correct.
Yeah.
Good.
Fortunately, though, we had plenty of equipment here to capture some of the chats with, and what you're going to get on another podcast in the feed is the full chats with... Who do we have? Angus Gardner?
Yeah. Oh, he was excellent.
Yeah.
Great. Best referee in the world.
Best ref in the world.
CJ Stander?
Yeah.
Yep.
Caught in for a chat. Part of the best team in the world.
Yeah.
Ireland. Afiwi Dianti.
Lovely bloke.
Breakthrough player of the year.
Yeah.
And his captain, Sia Khaleesi, we caught up with. Michaela Blyde, Sevens player of the year. Doddy Weir as well.
Yeah.
What a guy.
Yeah.
But first.
And the doctor.
And the doctor, Jamie Roberts, quite right. Yes. So, but what we're going to start with on the pod, we're going to do a podcast talking all about our weekend.
We've been all over the place.
Yeah. Well,
Marseille,
yes.
Rome, Nice, Monaco.
Right.
Probably worth saying as well, the next voice you're going to hear, is World Player of the Year? He's also not. And
yes.
And we'll explain that.
Johnny Sexton, if you haven't seen, I'm sure the word will have got round by the time you listen to this podcast.
Definitely.
Lost his voice and couldn't talk.
He genuinely couldn't talk.
Yeah.
So fortunately, his mate at Leinster for many, many years, Rob Carney, was our first guest. So we're still at the Monte Carlo Casino, joined by the devilishly handsome and Ireland's stalwart of a fullback, Rob Carney.
Even more handsome in real life.
Thank you, I'm very well. I'm having a good night. I'm delighted for Johnny.
Yeah.
Delighted for Joe and all the other winners.
Yeah, you have the world's best rugby player in your ranks. What makes Johnny Sexton so special?
It's a good question. First and foremost, he's obviously a superb player. He's a cush player. He's big moments at big times in games, but I think it's the stuff that you probably don't see on a Saturday afternoon. It's his drive, his commitment, his ability to get the best out of the players around him, his constant striving for perfection is the things that I think set him apart to other people.
You mentioned some big moments this season. Grand Slam, the victory against England, the victory against France with the drop goal, this successful tour to Australia, the successes with Leinster, the win in the Autumn Internationals. Kind of, how do you rank them? What are the kind of highlights looking back at what's been an amazing 2018?
Honestly, I think this year we genuinely have been really blessed at how things have gone for Leinster and Ireland. It's fairy tale stuff. You couldn't ask for better seasons. If I had to rank them, that drop goal in Paris was incredible. It set up our whole situation season. To carry the ball for that long, to build that many phases in those weather conditions, and for Johnny to produce a moment like that, was superb. To go down to Australia to lose the first test 1-0. And to come back and win a 2-1 again shows a massive amount of character in a team. Provincially, you know, Sarri's are the team that we've all been going after for the last couple of years. To beat them in a quarter final at home in Dublin, and then go away and beat a very tough Racing who analysed us really well and who sort of had our game plan sussed a little bit. And to come out the other end of that was incredible. You know, you come into November, you beat the All Blacks at home for the first ever time on Irish soil. You know, we've been so blessed with some of the things that we've achieved as a team this year.
Your team, the Irish team, and in the same sense, the Leinster team, you've been together for a long time, so obviously you know each other pretty well. Is any of this success a surprise to you, or did you always think that this group of players were as good as they are now?
Listen, if I'm being honest with you, if you look back at the last year and you say, you know, Grand Slam, Heineken Cup, the league, beating the All Blacks in Dublin, a series win and away in Australia, you know, you have to be pretty surprised with that. You know, of course, you set out at the start of a season and you set yourself these ambitions and goals and you say we're going to go and win everything, but, you know, to actually go and do it is pretty impressive. So, we're surprised with it, but, you know, we do put a huge amount of effort in, a lot of hard work, and there's so much stuff that behind the scenes that we might not always see. You're losing the winning shot. Keep it together.
All over the show here.
Well, listen, things have been bubbling up very nicely.
good link.
So we've got to mention Joe Schmidt as well, the guy that has masterminded this year that you've had. Again, a long time coming. You know, given the story that his future is going to be confirmed, how important a cog is he?
Listen, I think Joe's record speaks for himself. You know, he's won two Heineken Cups with Leinster. He's won two championships in the Six Nations. A Grand Slam, beaten the All Blacks twice, beaten South Africa down there in their own patch. You know, you can't argue with those sort of facts. He is probably the greatest coach in the world at the moment. I know he's won Coach of the Year this year, but I have had the exposure to some of the other coaches in the world, but I would be very, very surprised if there was better than him out there. Listen, I think Ireland have been incredibly lucky to have had his services over the last 5 years. Whether he decides to stay on or not, it's another day's conversation. But, you know, what Irish rugby has achieved over the last 3-4 years has been a massive, massive amount thanks to him.
Now, you must be bored of picking up trophies by now.
I haven't picked up one trophy tonight.
Team Ord?
Well, yeah, I was just overhearing. Apparently you have the most medals of any Irish player. Is that actually a real fact?
I've no idea. I don't sit at home and count my medals.
Well, the fact that you could sit at home and count your medals does say something.
Yeah. I want to ask you, picking up on the coaching, as English, well, Phil and I are Englishmen, JB's a Welshman, but you've got a couple of pretty talented English coaches. Andy Farrell and Stuart Lancaster were both gutted over here that you've got those guys.
And you know what, I genuinely think you should be gutted that we have them. They're two superb coaches. Andy Farrell is without doubt the greatest defence coach in the world. What he has brought to our team has been incredible. The system he's implemented, you know, how he gets guys up to speed so quickly. We all buy into him. He brings such energy to our defensive component of our game, you know, and he is without doubt a head coach in waiting in some capacity. Stuart Lancaster, a very, you know, different sort of, he's a different personality, a different type of person, and the circumstances of how he came into, you know, coaching Leinster has been very different too. But, you know, without Stuart we would not have won the Heineken Cup last year. You know, so English rugby, what you guys have lost has been an enormous factor in the success of Irish rugby over the last few years.
You mentioned then Farrell potentially going to, or looking at in the future, to step up to a head coach role. Any idea where that could be at some point in the future? Would it be a club? Would it be?
Would you like him to be your head coach in the future?
Well, listen, you know, if Joe was to move on, you think that Andy would be very, very high up on that shortlist to coach the Irish national team. He would have learned a huge amount from Joe over the last few years. He'll understand our system. He'll understand the way the business of the IRFU works. You know, so you would have to think that he is one of the very forefront runners to take over the Irish national team.
Any other names in the hat?
You've got Stuart Lancaster, you've got Mark McCall over in Sarries. You've obviously got a couple of other guys who will come out of the woodwork. But I think those three guys are probably the front runners.
Rob, congratulations, well, for the team.
And pass on our congratulations to Johnny.
Just the one final thing. How has he lost his voice? Was this celebrating with you boys?
No, he shouts so much during the week at all of us players that when the weekend comes, he just can't speak. It's pretty standard affair. It is what it is. Yeah. But I'll be sure to pass on your congratulations.
Thank you, Rob. Top man.
Thanks, Rob.
Cheers, boys.
That was Rob Carney on the Egg Chasers podcast. Now, I'm going to jump you back in time to a little bit earlier this evening when we were on the terrace here at the Monte Carlo Casino.
Hello, Egg Chasers. Thank you very much for listening. We are broadcasting not from the Rugby Dungeon today, but from the Monte Carlo Casino in Monaco, in the Principality.
It's a slight upgrade to our usual surroundings.
This place is obscene. It's simply obscene. We got here, you arrive in a villain's lair of a train station, underground.
Yeah.
And then you've got to sort of walk along the beachfront past... I think they say 10% of the world's wealth is held in tax havens. 10% of the world's wealth is floating in Monaco Harbour right now.
Or parked outside hotels.
It's unbelievable.
In Monaco.
Yeah, it really is. So that's where we've ended up. And that is day three of a weekend to the continent. You know, building bridges and building relations in rugby, putting our hands across the world.
Missionaries.
Unselfishly being rugby missionaries as we headed to Marseille for the World Cup repêchage, where Canada claimed the final place at the Rugby World Cup next year. Then it was on to Rome for Italy versus New Zealand to soak up some of the autumn internationals, watching a lot more of the rugby there. And then here we are, World Rugby Awards. So hopefully we'll have some guests for you a little bit later on. I've just realised, jump straight in. Obviously, if you just started listening to the podcast, I'm Tim. That's Phil.
Hello, Tim.
That's JB.
Hello, Timothy.
If you have listened to us for a while, and if you follow us on Twitter at Rugby Podcast, then I would just like to apologise both for the possible ropey nature of this podcast right now, and also, definitely, if you follow us on Twitter, for the imposters who hacked our account.
That's unbelievable. I can't believe that. I am outraged.
Could that have happened? At 1:30 in the morning, someone hacked us.
Unbelievable.
Pretending to be us.
Pretending to drink dry martinis. Extra dry martinis. I can't believe it.
Can we? Right, so Phil not only has introduced me to reason, statistics, spreadsheets, but on this particular trip also introduced me to one of the most disgusting drinks.
Oh, two of the most disgusting drinks. Two of my favourite drinks, dry martini and the Negroni.
Yeah.
So I only drink Negronis, this is serious. I only drink Negronis with my friends to bring us closer together. like a bonding exercise. Do you know, men say that they feel like
a tough pre-season?
No, more like serving in the trenches in World War One. That's the equivalent of drinking a Negroni.
So there's so much to talk about. In fact, let's just cover off some of the actual trip itself. So where do you want to start? Bar fights, airports.
Yeah. So we were nearly a victim of a savage attack in Marseille. A man who I can only describe as looking a little bit like a Top Gear Gear subscriber decided to tell Phil. Did he gesture as if you were, you know...
Oh, yeah, he did. So I sat down, and from across the bar, this guy in his 60s, he would never... French bloke, he gestures, like, his hand round his ear, something round his ear, like, you're stupid.
You're mad stupid, yeah.
And then did the...
As if you were self-pleasuring.
Yeah.
The self-pleasuring sign.
At me. Never seen this bloke before in my life. I didn't know what was going on.
So, allegedly, right, he said... Right, okay, he told me you were a disgrace at the game. Now, this is interesting, because often when people tell me I'm a disgrace, I would say, yeah, maybe I did something wrong. I often do things wrong. But the fact he said you did something wrong, and you've never done anything wrong in your life, leads me to think that this guy might be insane. So that was one thing, a near a near attack.
Near-death experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting. There was also... We have realised there is a total conspiracy. Airports are just lying to you to get you in and get you the money on the food and drink and...
Oh, 100%.
And aftershave in an airport, because there is no way, and we now know for certain, there is the two hour before your flight is utter nonsense.
We have not spent a single second longer than we've had to in airports.
We've arrived.
Not really by design. More accident
we've
than anything.
We arrived at the airport 2 minutes after the gate closed. 2 minutes after the gate closed.
No, the amazing part of that. Which time? Today?
Yeah, twice.
We have an 8 a.m. flight from Marseille to Rome. And at... It was 8:15, wasn't it? Or 8:45, whatever. At 7:38, JB stumbles across the apartment and asks us what time the flight is.
1 hour from now.
The gate, when you walked in, it was 37 minutes.
What did people do?
37 minutes until the gate closed, and we were 30 kilometres away.
Yeah.
And naked. Yeah. With none of our stuff packed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I literally, because of the ridiculous luggage allowances, I have bought one spare shirt, one outfit for tonight, and I've had the same clothes for...
You've basically been wearing the same thing for 3 days now.
I went in one... I had two outfits, one that I travelled in and the one which I'm wearing now. Everything else I bought on location and then left it in hotel rooms.
It's like Jack Reacher operates.
The important thing is, it's like on a rugby field. You can make mistakes, but that's fine. But the important thing is learning from your mistakes.
Well,
not repeating the errors.
It's positive outcomes. So you can make a mistake, but it's a positive outcome.
I've heard this before.
So we didn't learn from it. We didn't learn our lesson.
Yeah.
So, but we had a much more civilized 1 p.m. flight from Rome.
Yes. And managed to do exactly the same thing somehow.
At 11:37.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It was my turn to wake up and go, when's our flight?
over an hour, and we're a long way away.
So, but I've learned the words for sorry, I am late.
Yeah.
In French and Italian, which I had to shout and relentlessly barging past people in the security queue.
Now, we also know things about rugby, i.e. we know who's going to be in the World Cup now.
We do.
In fact... Does that count as a World Cup game? Did we go to the World Cup?
It's not a World Cup game. It's a World Cup qualification game.
Is that not
the
same thing? I mean, hashtag Rugby World Cup 2019?
Rugby World Cup Repechage 2018.
I think hashtag's Rugby World Cup 2019.
That is like...
I'm saying I went to a World Cup game.
That is like Harrow and Wealdstone FC saying when we were in the FA Cup qualifier. Was that? Did we win the FA Cup? Did we just...
Yeah.
We just played at Wembley.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But we know, and it's going to be Canada. And it's... bittersweet kind of watching Canada win, because if they lost, the story of Hong Kong would be amazing. It is already amazing.
Yeah.
But also, that would be basically the death knell in what used to be a really, really great rugby power. And which way do you want it
Canada
to go?
Canada have been to every World Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there was genuine talk of funding being certainly called into question for the Canadian team if they failed to qualify. So you're right, it would be the story for Hong Kong. And I loved the way that Hong Kong played. I loved their team spirit.
Yeah.
That story would be amazing. It would be a huge shame, because Canada could potentially be, if they improve their current situation, they could be a proper international rugby team.
Yeah, completely agree. Now, the weird thing about this, you've got Kenya, quite a populous nation. You've got Germany, a very populous nation. You've got Canada, not so much, right? And then you've got Hong Kong, which is, well, a tiny place. Now, when we watch the Germany-Kenya game, there are a smattering of fans. When Hong Kong played, they basically packed out half the stand.
Yeah.
They must have bought
more
serious...
Hong Kong fans than anyone else there.
There was no mergers and acquisitions and banking being done.
Oh, yeah.
On Friday.
Yeah, I have a suspicion that union does okay for itself, you know.
Yeah.
Their funding's all right, you think?
Yeah, I think their funding's somewhat secure.
Yeah. So I also, some other learns just generally for the weekend. I've learned what the word for sorry I'm late is in French and Italian.
Yes.
Used it many times.
Just shout it as you run through security.
Yeah.
Barge past people.
I also learned that get your press accreditation, or if you're trying to get tickets from anywhere in Italy, leave longer to get your ticket in Italy than you need to get to the airport.
Yeah. Now, if we were... in any way professional, we would have known about that, but we're not.
Well, we just wanted to enjoy a nice lunch, a nice relaxing lunch.
The accreditation for Stadio Olimpico, this is very inside baseball, it's like half a mile to a mile away from the actual stand.
It's not part of the main building. No. It's part of the surrounding complex of buildings.
Yeah. So we
didn't miss a few minutes, only a few minutes.
I've never seen the hack alive, and I was very excited about that.
tell you what, the crowd, though, I couldn't believe the size of the crowd for Italy, New Zealand. Not great, but...
Unfortunately, it was very much one-way traffic.
And yeah.
When the home crowd is doing a Mexican wave less than 20 minutes into the game, it's not going to be the greatest rugby.
But the Stadio Olimpico is bloody brilliant.
Superb.
Absolutely brilliant.
I've never been before.
Isn't it? Yeah. Loved last night in Rome.
A Six Nations trip to Rome, if that's something that you've done or would do, I just recommend it massively. It's a great
100%.
City.
Yeah.
Now, it did get a bit weird in Stadio Olimpico because we were watching a live game whilst huddled around Phil's phone trying to watch the England game.
And we were only about 10 metres away from Steve Hansen and the All Blacks coaches.
Yeah.
And every time Australia scored a try or had a disallowed try, JB was cheering. He was the loudest person in the whole stadium.
Yeah, you're not allowed to cheer when you're in the media. The media bit. It's not good.
Well, also, I'm just glad we kept him there till full time because we spent ages trying to get in. We got in late and it was about 5 minutes later. Should we go then, boys? Should we watch the England game in the park?
Let's go get some beers. Come on, let's go. So, England.
Yes.
England.
So, we now know that no matter how badly you do something, if there's a good outcome, you farrelled it.
Like us. Travelling around Europe.
We farrelled it.
We farrelled it completely.
And Farrell farrelled it this weekend, did he not?
Well, he scored a try.
He scored, scored 22 points.
Kicked a lot of goals.
Captained his team. Are
we finally allowed to say, it's a hole in the armour of a very good player?
What?
His tackling, his shots, all this stuff.
So I would prefer not to talk about the negative. I think,
but you have to, don't you? Surely.
Overall, his performance was incredibly positive.
Yeah,
he did play superbly. I do think I want to get off the kind of missed tackle narrative. I do think he made a massive mistake, and he could have potentially had a yellow card and a penalty try for that.
I completely agree.
Yeah, I totally agree. But I think what you've just done is what I've seen a lot of people do in the wake of the game. England just humped Australia.
Yeah, I tell you.
So England just humped Australia. And people would rather talk about a try that should have been a try and 4 points that Australia should have had.
Yeah.
It still wouldn't have changed the outcome. It still doesn't take away from the fact England are really, really good. And I can't see it right now, but we have had a tweeter. I can't remember the name of the person who did it, but they tweeted saying, and I think they're onto something here, that this Owen Farrell tackling narrative
is actually behave.
Trumpian diversion tactics.
Fake news. You're fake news, Tim Parker.
To get away from the fact that your downfall 2018 and Eddie Jones losing his job is in tatters.
Well, we have got three envelopes.
It's definitely not in tatters. It's definitely not in tatters.
There are three envelopes sealed in the rugby dungeon containing what we said.
The next...
Out of interest, what did you say, Jay?
My theory was England were going to lose 3 out of 4. They were only going to beat Japan. And then Eddie Jones might be edging towards the door.
But you actually wrote the name of the person who you thought was going to come in.
Exactly. So I actually thought, if everything goes to plan, my plan, I think I know who would come in. I think.
Who?
So here is my conspiracy theory. RFU, not got much cash.
I know who you're going to say.
Yeah. Right. And in the meantime, there's a guy being appointed to England... doing developments, so on and so forth.
I know who you're going to say.
Who's got DOR experience, and I believe it'd be Machiavellian enough to say, oh what, Eddie's gone, step forward, Dean Ryan.
Well, we don't need to talk about that, because it's not happening.
You know. Just out of interest, who did you write down?
I put Stuart Lancaster.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Hang on, we've not done it yet. And Sam Burgess.
Yes.
assistant coach.
Defence coach.
Yes.
What I put was, I initially wrote down as a joke, Mike Ford, and then I struck through that and wrote, no one in Eddie we trust.
Oh, what a creep.
Phil, I love
what
it.
A creep.
Nails it again.
So again, yes, yeah, I think everyone could agree that should have been a penalty try.
Yeah.
Possible yellow card. But the point being,
That doesn't take away from
a very
and
good
shouldn't one. Take away, and it disappoints me how many people are talking about that after a demolition of a poor Australia
not,
team.
This is not a good Australia team. That's the first thing.
There are two
I
sides
would be very worried.
Bar a couple of players, it's the same Australia team that Wales eked past.
These boys have got some serious, serious problems. They play the most stupid brand of rugby that I've seen. I mean, their discipline is shocking. It doesn't sound like it's a particularly happy camp there either. Adam Ashley Cooper nonsense. Do we know?
Yeah. So after the
Wales game,
they had Adam Ashley Cooper's sister-in-law and a couple of her friends back to the hotel. They left by midnight. However, it was a breach of team protocols.
Pathetic.
And a leadership group of players.
I hate this.
So this is the bit that concerns me. I kind of go. It just doesn't ring true with every team I've been in that you wouldn't. I don't think you'd.
Why would you snitch on your mates?
Well, it's a. Well,
but then give them this.
Equally, you've got to set standards, and they've just lost an international match.
Yeah, so I think it's the way I'm looking at it. This is there's no major. From what I've read, there's no major indiscretion in this. But because of past indiscretions, they've had to set these standards for themselves, and this was a kind of black and white breach of protocol.
Nonsense. I mean, not only is it nonsense to have these stupid rules. These are adults. They can go to bed whenever they want whoever they want.
Oh no, right? That's how I would run it.
Yeah.
But
then the leadership group. I mean, imagine you as my friend, right? Yeah. Telling me, right, you're going to punish me. It's absurd.
No, but the difference is, I agree, and that's not how I would run it. But if we said, when we go away on our trip to Monaco and Nice and Rome, we are going to do an hour's walk sightseeing at 9 a.m. every morning. We all sign up to it, even though that's never going to happen, and it's unrealistic. But then we would, me and Phil, when we want to go out for a nice sightseeing walk, and you're in bed... I'm really ropey and my brain's not working very well. I guess I'm saying is they signed up to it.
I feel it's like imposed on them. Like it's a little sleight of the hand by these managery types who they sort of get you to. They get you to control yourself. I don't like it one bit. How do we get the boys to follow rules? Let's pretend that the boys made up the rules with these. Imposter leadership groups.
Going back to the game,
there
was definitely some indiscipline from both teams. But neither team has got particularly good disciplinary records on the pitch. They do both make some stupid errors in judgment. But there was some. Let's talk about some of the positives. Let's talk about some of the individual brilliance. For example, the two 15s, the Israel Folau try and the Elliot Daly try.
Both of the Israel Folau tries.
Or the first one through the gap. Some sensational, absolutely sensational individual running.
Did anyone miss a tackle for that one?
I think someone might have. I think two people did, actually.
I think it might have also been one of the best players on the pitch who scored 22 points and captains inside to a demolition of Australia. I think it might have been that guy.
What were you saying, sorry, Phil? Individual performances, yes. Let's talk about Elliot Daly.
Okay.
Would you keep him at fullback?
I would personally still be having Mike Brown at fullback.
Yeah.
But if I was playing a World Cup quarterfinal or any World Cup game tomorrow, I would want Mike Brown at fullback.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to say, haven't you? Like, Elliot Daly has to play for that team. Has to, because he's amazing. But where? And I don't think they've quite sussed that yet.
Well, the interesting bit is he's had virtually no time at all at centre. So they obviously do see him as a back three player. England do need to build up their options because for quite some time, actually, under the whole of Eddie Jones, they've only really had Mike Brown or Anthony Watson as fullback options. So building up another player, because Watson... Who knows when he'll be next back?
Yeah,
but he was great, and his the skill he showed was the kind of skill that you can employ on the wing or at fullback. I personally prefer Elliot Daly on the wing, but I understand what he's doing. And another positive was Joe Tokunasinger.
He had a very good game. There wasn't a try when he ran for Dane Haylett Petty instead of just going for the corner and tried to barge through him.
Or just pass to the man.
He will learn. It's a good game to make that kind of mistake in because he will learn an enormous amount
from that costly mistake. And when you think about the potential size of an England backline,
It's genuinely.
They're all big, aren't they?
The physicality. You, a back line with Teo, Tuilagi,
Cockersinger,
Daly.
Daly's not, he's not small.
Farrell's puts himself about.
Yeah.
So it's a big bunch of boys. That's going to be. That's going to cause problems.
I do think we know a little bit more about England. I think we finally know what England want to be, which is
brutal.
Very, very blunt and brutal. Yeah,
brutal. Yeah,
that's basically it now.
But they want to do that in order to then create some room for that exciting back three. Because almost no matter who you've got in that back three, whether it's Cockersinger or if Watson comes back or Noel or Johnny May or Elliot Daly, you've got running threats right across the back three. So they want to create the opportunity by the brutal side of it for those guys out wide.
And with England, they have done this without two of their best players, the Vinopoulos.
Yes.
Yeah, but then that's a good point.
Ben Moon was good again. Carl Sinclair was just a
beast.
He was an absolute beast.
Rampaging.
Yeah. Itoji's world class again. He's going to be one of the greats.
You could argue he's already.
He's getting there. He's getting there.
Yeah.
He's on the way. He is world class again. Brad Shields, I thought, was his best game for England.
I'd agree with that.
It wouldn't be hard to improve on some of Brad Shields' performances, to be fair.
So the one player who really did stand out. So I thought Kyle Sinclair was sensational. Really, really liked Mark Wilson.
He's such
a good all rounder and so hard working, so industrious.
The modern day Richard Hill. How many people have been called that? But, you know, he might actually be.
Yeah, because he is that kind of all-rounder. He combines all the benefits of a kind of traditional 6, 7 and 8.
Yeah, I do love it, you know, when like a guy gets a chance and then you just can't drop him.
I think he's getting to that.
Ben Moon as well.
But yeah, Ben Moon has been superb.
Who would have thought that? It's great.
Especially with Mako being out and Marla retiring from international.
Yeah.
That did look like an area of weakness, but it has just given opportunity for Moon and Hepburn to come in and step up.
A lot of positives, and I think that brutality that England could bring. Again, and I'll put it like this, going back to Farrell, yes, it should have been a penalty try. Potential yellow card, absolutely. But he is England's most important player. Owen Farrell's not inside, England don't win the World Cup. Owen Farrell in that side, they could win the World Cup.
Danny Cipriani in the side, guaranteed win. But on a serious note, I don't think it's a coincidence that him moving to 10 has had some sort of resurgence. They are much more direct with him at 10, and then a big centre rather than the old Ford-Farrell partnership, which worked for a while.
When he came on, there were more spaces and they created more when Ford was on as well.
I think Ford's not long for this team, actually.
I think he's an important cog.
But why? Because you've got Slade, he can step in at 10. Because you've got
all these blunt instruments, and you've got all these really rapid guys, these blunt instruments. Actually, you need some guile and craft and skill, and you've got Ford, Slade, and the men around those big fellas that you...
A point that I've made previously about New Zealand on this tour particularly, you can't just have a plan A. You need a plan A and a plan B. And England do have those options. They can change up and play with the two playmakers, the Ford and Farrell combination, or you can play with Teo and Tuilagi, as we saw later on in the game, and you've got a completely different setup.
Yeah. So, in conclusion, in terms of England, I have to sort of eat a little bit of humble pie myself, because I was really concerned, and I thought it was going to be a bad autumn, but it's still a work in progress. It's a big step back in the direction they were
going. It's a mediocre.
Three out of four wins, only lost to the All Blacks by 1 point.
The All Blacks by 1 point is mediocre.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. They haven't shown me. If you have a look, right, as I always say, the top two are miles ahead of everyone.
I do agree with that.
Then you've got your chasing group. After the autumn, do you put England where? Middle of that group? Bottom of that group? Top of that group?
Yeah, them in South Africa.
Wales?
South Africa, Wales.
Scotland?
Ahead of Scotland.
No, ahead of Scotland.
I'm not sure.
Argentina.
I mean, playing some absolutely amazing stuff. Wales look really good now. Oh, and France lost to Fiji. Has anyone mentioned that?
France did lose to Fiji.
That was the result of the whole autumn.
It's so French, isn't it?
And it was the pictures of the Fijian players singing after the game. It was absolutely awesome.
Yeah,
that's the one game we didn't watch.
Yeah.
Yes.
we sort of half watched the Ireland USA game.
Yeah.
Till half time.
Yeah, exactly.
Wales.
Just on the Ireland USA. So good to see USA getting a couple of tries early on and actually making a game of it at the start. I really liked that Ireland kit, but it did not feel Irish,
no,
if that makes
blue.
Sense.
What's all that about?
Yeah. I love the kit. I think it's gorgeous. It's just not. Yeah. An Irish kit.
I think sometimes they can copy Leinster too much. Too much of a good thing.
Yeah. So I'm very happy with where Eddie Jones has got England after the autumn. Oh, what's going
Excuse
on?
Excuse me.
Uh-oh, right. Phil.
We're trying to move one of the cables out of the water.
You might be able to hear the rain, but the rain has followed us everywhere.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
Sorry. Did I swear? It's all over my laptop. Damn it!
Friday night of the repechage match. It was monsoon and again,
yeah, diluvian
again. Rome. Yeah. It was biblical rain.
Yeah, it was incredible rain.
Catholic rain.
Wales.
I'm excited about this Welsh squad now. I think they are. I don't think they're Ireland good or All Black good, but I think
they're in the pack.
They are the best of the rest.
Do you think?
Yeah, I really do. In fact, look at them. I can sort of see. I think England would like to be the team Wales are. I think that's a stage that England need to be and should be, really.
I think it's hard to say either England or Wales are far ahead of the other.
Really?
I don't see much difference. Now, Wales are playing some very nice stuff, and the big thing for Wales is that their discipline and their defence.
Yeah.
Are so good. They're almost like an Ireland light. They're not quite at the insane levels of discipline and defence that Ireland have.
The monk-like discipline of the Irish.
Yeah. Wales, it actually really suits, we were talking about this last night, but it actually really suits Wales, the way that the media and everyone has been so focused on the England narrative, but also just how good Ireland have been. It creates an enormous amount of focus and takes focus away from Wales, who've been very unassumingly and quietly going on about their business and getting wins against South Africa, getting wins against Australia, having a very good autumn.
And doing exactly what England are trying to do, which is experiment with new guys, get new options, get some squad depth. Exactly the same process.
Yeah, and the squad's the big revelation for Wales is that they now can lose key players and not fear it in the way that they would have done a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's a good point. And their options in the back row are superb. Like Moriarty, obviously Faletau being out is a big loss.
Yep.
Obviously Sam Warburton retiring is
a big loss. The Lions,
but to have the boys like Tipperick looks reborn. He looks sensational. Moriarty, Ellis Jenkins. They're super. Even Lydiot was playing.
Lydiot's
like
back
a couple of weeks. Yeah,
yeah. It's awesome.
And they've got. Even boys below that, like someone like Navidi, who not really playing, or I don't know if he did play in the autumn, but he's such a good operator to come in.
Yeah, nothing warms my heart more than big men working really, really hard with line speed.
line speed, work rate.
I've nailed it finally. Line speed and work rate.
It was really, really impressive from Wales. Like the thought, as South Africa kind of needed to play a different type. They didn't play like they did against England. Maybe Wales didn't let them, but like England in the summer when they were really chucking the ball about, they were just running big men, but that's playing right into Wales' hands.
Yeah.
I love,
and I mean this, I love watching, is it Cheslin, first name?
Cheslin Colby.
That guy is worth the price of admission alone.
He's so exciting, isn't he? But Wales shut him down.
Yeah.
When he came on, and as he often does against tired bodies and there's broken field running, Wales did shut him down.
By the way, George North's good again.
Yeah, when you look at that team, there's a lot of guys that would be like Lions starters if you were picking a team.
5 years ago.
Five years ago and today. They're looking really, really impressive. I liked it a lot. Just one thing we didn't mention in relation to the trip. JB's, if you ever want, I think you should go into business. I've got a business idea for you.
Oh,
you
awesome.
Should start doing running bar crawls. Pub crawl for closed bars. JB can find the greatest closed bars anywhere.
Yeah, it's frightening actually.
We went to a lovely closed bar in Marseille.
Went to
beautiful.
We went to a closed rooftop bar in Rome.
Yes.
Phil went to three closed rooftop bars in
Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia, there's two more which were closed in Madrid.
You get so excited about your trips and you build these maps.
last night worked out just fine.
Last night was very good fun. Although, wasn't that because of my recommendations from looking places up?
No.
We ended up in a bar. Hold on, we ended up in a bar. Oh. How un-egg chasery is this? We watched some live
music.
Jazz trumpet.
Yeah.
It was awesome, though.
That's very Tim Cocker Virgin Radio, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I bring the sophistication.
Absolutely.
Jazz, nice. Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, and we also hung out with one of the world's leading anaesthetists. Forget the World Rugby Awards.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we did. We met this chap who said he was an anaesthetist, which is exactly what JB and Phil's wives do. And he said, oh, they'll know me.
Yeah, and they did.
Tell them who you're with, they'll know me.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's the equivalent. It would be like us, just like bumping into... Yeah. Dan Carter.
Yeah, right. If Layla bumps in. I met a guy called Dan the other day.
Right.
Dan Carter.
Plays a bit of rugby.
Explain this to me. We're all bright men. We've all been to bars.
Closed ones.
Yeah. What kind of insane business model, right? This is a nice bar. It was very, very nice. What sort of insane model is it? You have to go to reception to pay for your drinks and then somehow communicate this to the bartender back upon your arrival.
Yeah. That ordering system was a joke.
Middle class problems. Very middle class problems.
I'll tell you what, one thing, just to sort of tie all the autumn international stuff together, because there are other games. God, we were at Italy v New Zealand, which was Jordy Barrett's all right, isn't he? Pretty tidy. D-Mac.
Fairly handy, yeah.
Fairly handy.
They were so... Do you know, I know we spoke about the Italy game and the surroundings earlier on in the pod, but I think we did. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. Everything about Italy's setup. The stadium is great. Mm. The hospitality is great.
I love the trees.
I love that sort of
beautiful venue.
The Olympic Park. Everything about it that is amazing, except for the rugby. And it does need to pick itself up because this was not competitive.
Not even close. Not even close. There is such an enormous chasm between Italy and the top.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to go to watch Italy again, it'd have to be something like Italy versus Georgia. I couldn't possibly watch them against, I don't know, South Africa or some such thing.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, well, so I've completely lost my chain of thought there. I was just looking, they've started playing...
Let me guess, do you want to by any chance decide who you would pick for a Lions team if it was played tomorrow?
I was just let's do that. That'll tie the autumn
but only from players who played this autumn.
Based on what we've seen this autumn, let's select Lions side.
I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to start with the whole Ireland team and you can tell me which ones I'm going to play. Or who you're adding to the Ireland team.
That's not a bad way of doing it. Okay, I'll tell you who I would definitely have. Stuart Hogg.
In place of Carney?
In place of Carney.
Okay, I can get on board with that.
So should we go from 15? 12.
Oh, anyway, sorry. Yeah. Go from 15.
So, Hogg at 15.
Hogg at 15. Owen Farrell.
My wingers would probably be
May
and Stockers.
May
and Stockdale.
What about?
I could probably go with that. Maitland's been really good this autumn.
Maitland has played well, but.
I think seven could be up for grabs, potentially.
No, George North. Has he been.
I wouldn't. George North is looking back to his best.
Okay, cool.
But I wouldn't have him over those two.
Centres. Oh, sorry, unless you wanted to.
No.
No, okay, cool.
Pretty much.
Ringrose and Bundiacki.
Yeah. Fine.
I would have JD too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has been excellent.
Yeah.
And Farrell at 12.
So JD two and Bundiacki.
JD two and Owen Farrell.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Owen Farrell could play 10 if Johnny Sexton didn't exist.
I would actually be happy if there was a Lions test to have Sexton and Farrell as my 10-12 combination.
Yes.
As long as you have someone there.
No, you're insane.
Someone else. Someone like a Bundiacki or maybe Tio as another option.
No, you're insane.
Off the bench.
Absolutely not.
Overall.
All right, fine.
Off. Ben Youngs. I'm going to say Ben Youngs. Davis has been great.
Ben Youngs has.
Thomas Williams has been very good.
Off
Kieran
the bench.
Marmion was
excellent. Yeah, Marmion was superb. In the win against New Zealand.
If it's not broke, don't fix it. Murray's not played.
No. Gareth Davis has been really excellent this
autumn. Gareth Davis has been very good. I think, to go back to your Ben Youngs point, I think he's had his best run of games in an England shirt for a long, long time.
Agreed.
I think he played very, very well.
Agreed.
Very, very Ben Youngs. Have a hot patch followed by a cool patch. Very Ben Youngs.
Yeah. So on that basis, he's going to have a bad Six Nations.
That's the backs. So who do you say scrum off? Do we go Gareth Davis or Ben Youngs?
To be honest, it could be any of those. Right. It could be Marmion as well. They've all played.
When fit.
Yeah, they've all played very well.
Silly game theory game we're playing out.
So you've got to start with Irish front row. All Irish front row.
It's hard to disagree with the Irish front row. The only one for me. So Rory Best is so important for Ireland because of his leadership. I do wonder if no. I mean either of the so Jamie George or either of the Scottish boys
Dylan
Fraser Bowen or
oh
or
I like the Scottish
Dylan
lads
Hartley's
actually.
Hartley has been very good, actually.
Been
so good.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. I'd pick him. I think he's the currently the best hooker.
I would go Best. I think.
Because of the leadership.
Exactly. And also, he's beaten New Zealand twice. He's doing something right.
Yeah.
If not, I do like the Scottish lads, though.
I really like both of them. They're both very good.
Locks. This is really hard.
Because
James Ryan.
James
Dev
Ryan.
Dev Toner in that one.
Dev Toner was unbelievably good.
Yeah.
He was unbelievably good.
James Ryan.
Ridiculous.
I think Itoji has made a few mistakes. He's done some sensational things that no other locks would do.
Yeah, I'm without doubt saying the two Irish lads.
Yeah, James Ryan.
No Alan Wynn.
I do love Alan Wynn.
He's pretty imperious.
I do love. Yeah. Do you know what I love most is
120 caps he's got now.
Who was the lad?
He's still got a few years left in him.
Hang on. Who was the lad who was captaining South Africa? Was it Khaleesi?
He is the captain.
Now, I have an enormous amount of respect for anyone who captains an international rugby team. I mean, it's just an incredible thing.
Unless they're called Owen Farrell.
However, no, I like Owen Farrell. There's a huge hole, this gaping hole in this game. Anyway, imagine being in a situation where you've got to argue the facts about rugby to the referee against Alan Wynne-Jones. It's not a fair fight, is it? It's just not a fair fight.
It's like Alan Wynne was probably disappointed at how it was just candy from a baby. It's not a challenge anymore.
I mean,
I bet he just calls the ref. You know, he says stuff about the ref's mum just to kind of make it harder when he has to chat to him over again.
I mean, imagine being the ref in, say, the Lions tour, and one side you've got Kieran Reid explaining his interpretation of the law, and then Sam Warburton explaining his interpretation of the law. Good luck.
So who's our second Rhodes? I want James Ryan in there.
James
James Ryan.
How can you not say on the performance of these Novembers, that single performance from Dev Toda?
Yeah, I think you're right. Those two.
Fine. Back row.
Stander.
So Omani's in there.
Omani,
definitely in there, 100%.
Wilson
is.
We're picking on what we've just seen.
Okay,
yeah.
So do you know
Wilson and Underhill.
Tipperick 7.
Underhill's performance against New Zealand for England was unbelievable.
Underhill would be the guy for me because I just think he is special. So he's got something about him.
I probably would have Omani. But yeah, Tipperick's been sensational as well. Maybe Omani, CJ Stander, and Tipperick. With Mark Wilson on the bench.
Stander, Omani. But just the sheer brutality of Sam Underhill. I just love watching him. I just love him.
Isn't it? It's interesting, one Scottish player, and actually, we've talked about Wales going under the radar and doing some good things, but we haven't really. Well, Gareth Davis got mentioned, JD got mentioned, Alan Wynne got mentioned, but really, so are we? Is this our English bias? Some people will be calling us, because Scotland not completely unrepresented besides Hogg.
I think Scotland have been a little bit disappointing.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I was disappointed that they didn't get more out of the South Africa game. I thought that was the game that they really should have stepped up. If they are going to be competing at the top level, and if they want to be in the conversation around teams that can potentially beat New Zealand and win the World Cup, they had to win that game. And unfortunately, they didn't. They let it slip.
Mm. Now, we're at the World Rugby Awards. There's Bill Beaumont just walking up the red carpet at the moment.
Running into Bill again.
Yeah. We saw he was there in Marseille the other
night. He's always at Sail Sharks or World Rugby Awards or the Repertoire.
But Gus Pichot will be coming in soon, the vice president.
Oh, can't wait for this.
Yeah, so this is the other thing. Like Owen Farrell's tackle that should have been a penalty try was the Twitter-arty mob of outrage. Loved a bit of that. And they loved a bit of Pichot chat.
I don't really understand. They're just some numbers.
If you haven't seen, Augustin Pichot posted a tweet of foreign-born players. So international squads.
The percentage.
As a percentage. Yeah. Now, it's a stupid stat because David Pocock was foreign-born.
Yeah.
As an Australian international. George North counted for Wales' his percentage because he was born in King's Lynn.
It's just, who cares? It's just like one of those things like,
What if I posted
a stat about how many players in the first 15 come from a farming background? It's not relevant.
It's as relevant.
Nobody cares.
But it has been driving people wild. People have been going nuts.
They're
about
deranged.
It.
These people are deranged.
Yeah.
Now, I do think that there's, under it all, there is a bit of a point that Gus Pichot got. I think the stats he chose to use were stupid, pointless. But the underlying point of the residency, which they have already addressed, I think there is a point there.
But he didn't actually make a point, did he?
No, he didn't actually make a point.
He just presented these are the percentage of players who are foreign-born in each squad. And that is it. It's just it's a statement of fact.
Yeah.
It's not... So a lot of people are then interpreting it as a negative on nations who've got a high percentages.
I think that is clear. That probably is
That is a way of interpreting it. But it is just data. It is just a statement of fact.
It's like if he literally just stated the time.
JB has got brown hair.
There you go.
I would get rid of the grandparents. Rule
pathway, would you?
Just your parents, or citizenship. That's it.
So how?
I think the five year to me seems it seems about right.
Yeah,
it does. It seems fine.
Right. Well, World Rugby Awards. Any
who do you think is going to win? By the way,
well, that's exactly. I think it's going to be Johnny Sexton.
Yeah,
I think it has to be Johnny Sexton. Ireland have had phenomenally successful autumn internationals. Sexton for Leinster have had very successful. Oh, there's Rob Vickerman.
Let's see if we can. Let me see if we can get our first guest.
Wait there.
Should we pause?
So it's got to be Sexton. No.
Okay. It has to be Sexton.
With all this other stuff going on, this is the advantage of the rugby dungeon, is it's a contained space. When JB has line of sight to all sorts of places, he is unleashed.
He gets easily distracted, doesn't he?
He really does. He's not in the room. Ah, we've got Mr. Vick. He's following us around.
It's just good to see JB wearing a jacket that morning.
No, come on.
How are you doing, Rob?
Nice to see you, Rob. Rob Vickerman, who we saw in Marseille on Friday night because he was commentating on the Repechage.
Doing a fine job, I must say.
Yeah, it was great. Like
someone pestering behind.
and you also, as you just said there, people wouldn't have heard, you proved that JB's jacket is indeed two sizes too small
it's
for him.
It's not. It's a great jacket. It's a nice, well, this is a different jacket, but all my jackets fit perfectly, thank
you very much. It's impressive that you've now lent it to Phil as well.
Fantastic. How northern is this weather we've had in the continent?
I did just make a point. The producers inside this lovely, incredible facility, BBC Five Live, in the nice little warm area. You northern monkeys.
Exactly.
What's that about? But no, it's one of those. That about 25 minutes ago, three steps out, suddenly just started absolutely mancuning it down.
Oh, Rome was even worse. Rome was epic.
Biblical. It was. Yes, and Marseille. Well, you were there with us Marseille Friday night. Canada got the final spot in the Rugby World Cup, which is so important for that nation, having been to every World Cup, wasn't it?
Yeah, massive. It was huge. And to be honest, that was probably likely to happen. I think we kind of span it a little bit in the media that there was a lovely little narrative, because it's the first time I've ever heard of a tournament being structured the way it was, in that the first points differential was actually about head-to-head, not your points for and points against. So it could well have been going into that last game, if Germany had indeed beaten Canada in the second game, that one of any three teams could have gone through. And mathematically, was an absolute nightmare. But it was really hotly contested in certain parts of the game. But ultimately, it came down to that class and experience that Canada had, which, having been to every World Cup, always was going to happen.
Mm. Yeah, and it's a big traditional rugby nation, so it was great for them. But yeah, just it's nice to throw the spotlight on these on some of the smaller nations. And I think broadly speaking, that's been one of the great things about this autumn series. And that Fiji win last night.
Yeah, that's exactly what people want to see. And interesting today, you know, with all the kind of world rugby seniority, they've loved it because it's been really competitive. I think what needs to happen is perhaps a little bit more structure as to who plays who. You don't want to be playing Australia's and England team four times in a year, which I'm sure you've probably mentioned already. But
many, many times.
Yeah, and you know, it needs to have that little degree of structure, which, you know, is something they're talking about. So really good autumn internationals, and I think it sits perfectly well going into what's going to be a pretty competitive Premiership campaign amongst others.
Now, how interesting is this? Is this whole Hong Kong story? Because they've got a fantastic little setup there.
Yeah, it's a really intriguing one, and been out in Hong Kong a few times over the last probably 6 or 7 years, seeing it develop and grow. They're still very much reliant on their model of people go to Hong Kong with a view to get employment as well as rugby. So often you're thinking like they're probably senior championship players, or perhaps, it sounds horrible to say, but failed Premiership players that wanted to get some rugby but tie it into an internship, or, you know, looking at employment going on. So that's always been generally the way they've done it, and it's been an amateur status, but now they're looking at a professional model. And I was just speaking with the chief exec of Hong Kong only on Friday, and he's talking about this global rapid rugby has been the game changer for Hong Kong.
Explain this, because it's fascinating.
Yeah, there's not a huge amount out there, but if you do have a quick Google of it, there's the guy that's basically backed a lot of Australian rugby previously, and I think Rebels are one of his Andrew Forrest, they call him Twiggy. He's the guy that's basically trying to set up this different type of league, and it's one of these experimental leagues, so it should be really fun to watch, really engaging for the viewer, because they can manipulate laws like they do in the Varsity Cup in South Africa, and that then makes it appealing to a different type of audience than your traditional rugby
and sport. They've got some huge amount, well, potential huge amount of prize money or some such thing, so the incentives to play pretty large.
Yeah, and that's it. The incentives for most teams is going to be cash, because that's how you fund it. It sounds ruthless and slightly mercenary, but it is actually the backbone of how these things are going to grow. It needs a lot of money, and if you go to Hong Kong, the first thing you know is a lot of money.
They have one resource in abundance, and it's money, so they should be okay.
Where are you going to go with that there, Jay?
Yes.
Just you used the word mercenary there. I'd be interested in what you think, as you know, as someone who played professionally. You're not just a fan. You've got a different perspective as well. What do you think Gus Peashot will be here tonight? He's had a lot of heat the last week, hasn't he?
Yeah, now I love Gus, not only because he's one of the few people in rugby, or indeed the world, that could pull off a suit with white trainers.
Yeah.
He nails it up there with Pharrell.
James Abraham. No. James Abraham is the other guy.
He nails it. Now, he gives some more Converse and just doesn't work. It's a massive fail. You can tell him I said that. But the thing about Gus is, you appoint someone like that, who is the most charismatic, passionate person in rugby, You make him have significant power and authority, you've got to expect that he's going to speak his mind. And that's what the traditional viewer wants. They want to hear that. How he does it perhaps will aggregate a little bit of the world rugby circles. But as a player, you feel he represents you. And that's kind of what you want. As a fan, very much the same. As an administrator, it must be an absolute nightmare, if I'm honest. Because you have to try and care about
this social media world we're in, it was one thing that sparked the outrage. The other big talking point that's got a lot of people very heated the last 24 hours or so is
Owen Farrell's missed tackles.
Yeah.
Do you think there's an issue there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. And I, actually, again, going back to the world rugby circles, they're talking about that situation being one that could have been showcased as potential. So I do feel for Farrell, because clearly he feels that heat comes toward him. But ultimately, if you were to go onto the website, you look at what is deemed a no shoulder tackle,
yeah.
It would have been probably not as bad as the one that was witnessed right from the sticks.
Yeah, absolutely right.
And Piper had his time there to maybe say, look, this is the precedence, so I can make a mark here. This could well be the documented thing that's going to try and change that behaviour, but ultimately it's what we're all talking about now, and we don't need to be. So I'm very cautious of Nick Phil's mic here. So
it's all right.
That's okay.
We've still got the one northern quota. That's all right. The gruff northerner. So what? So tonight, is it how messy will it get? We were here last night. We saw some international players in all kinds of pain.
We're not allowed to say that.
Oh, right.
No.
Generic.
Oh, yeah.
No.
That's very generic. That's all right.
Didn't say it was rugby.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. Good.
Monaco footballer, perhaps. Yeah.
That's it. And if you're going to mention the word player in Monaco,
exactly.
It's ridiculous. But you walk down the high street, normally they'd be like Greggs and McDonald's or whatever. Here, McLaren's, Ferraris, Rolls Royce, the place is just bizarre.
And when I said all kinds of pain, it's because they were doing some deadlifts.
Exactly right.
But it's going to be, I think it's going to be a bit of a celebration, first and foremost. It's been a hell of a year for most of these players. The weird thing is that some of them are now, finishing a ridiculous campaign. Others are smack bang in the middle of it. So very difficult to see where the celebration levels will get to, but I have been told the after party or something is downstairs. So
is it
some sort of dungeon, the rugby dungeon perhaps?
Oh yes. Subterranean. Sexton. love it. Not a bedroom.
And world player of the year for you,
Sexton? Just walked past him actually.
Actually,
he's deceptively tall, isn't he? Yeah. I think he's going to be as long as he is.
No,
actually, whilst we're on this, give me your predictions for the Sevens awards.
Yeah, I kind of hope, and this sounds really negative, but I hope it isn't Perry Baker with him
again.
And he hasn't actually played a massive amount, but when he has played, I mean, the guy is a bit of a celebrity in rugby circles because of what he can do. I mean, that try he'll score, I'm sure you'll see the VT around the world on it. He's just incredible, and he's a real personality, which is great. But for me, the guy, such just seen him on screen, Ben O'Donnell, great story. No one ever heard of him. Comes on the Seven Series, exactly how Seven should be used as a development tool, and he's carved it. And the also thing I like about him, he could not look more Aussie.
Nice.
He's got the rat tash. He's full on leg back. He's got a family that follow him everywhere. Perry Baker.
Yeah, the Perry Baker track.
It's worth a good 10 minutes just circling him on YouTube. It's pretty special. Yeah. Speed stick. How someone's that quick with that little legs? I've got no idea.
He is unbelievable, isn't he? Yeah. He's unbelievable. Right. Well, shall we leave it there and go and corral
go
people
inside out of the monsoon?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you going to distribute your I Love Faf de Klerk badges now, JB?
I have a few.
Well, he's had to throw the downfall 2018 badges away.
Is Faf here? I didn't.
He's just walked in with Malcolm Marks, who's an
Okay. Stay calm.
He might actually fit your jacket, JB.
Actually, I'm going to see if I can. Are they in there now? Are they come for drinks?
Yeah.
Right,
you're painting the picture of where you are now, cast away on the balcony, miles away from everyone. You need to get in the mixer.
Everywhere is like a Thunderbirds house. I love it. Right, yeah, let's go and get inside.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays.
Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.